There's been a lot of activity in the electric vehicle industry recently, and much of it could have an impact for both EV producers and consumers in the region. Last month, Tesla announced a partnership with Hertz that would put 100,000 electric vehicles in the rental agency's fleet by the end of next year. Half of those EVs would then be available for Uber drivers to rent by 2023. EV manufacturer Lucid Motors has also recently started delivering its Air sedan. The car is manufactured in Casa Grande. In addition, General Motors says it plans to give up to 10 charging stations to each of its dealerships to put up in their communities. An analysis from Reuters predicts a global investment in excess of $500 billion in electric vehicles and batteries through 2030. And joining me to talk about all of this is Reuters future transportation correspondent Paul Leinart. And Paul, let's start with this arrangement between Hertz and Tesla. How big of a deal is this deal?
It's perhaps a bigger deal for Hertz than it is for Tesla. Tesla doesn't seem to have much trouble selling its vehicles, right? So Hertz, on the other hand, is kind of coming back from bankruptcy. It's a great brand to be associated with for Hertz. Maybe this is a way to extend Tesla to people who've never, A, been in an electric car, or B, been in a Tesla. They can get an experience through Hertz.
Right. Let me ask you about General Motors also, which is saying that it's going to be sending charging stations to dealers across the country in an effort to put them up in their communities. And, you know, obviously that's one of the concerns for some folks, you know, if they're looking to maybe get an electric car, will I be able to charge it at a spot that's convenient? How significant is that move from GM to try to, you know, put up some number of charging stations in an effort to maybe put people's minds at ease a little bit?
You know, Mark, I think you've hit on probably one of the big stumbling blocks right now that remains to get a broader audience and reception for electric vehicles, because they're not all that easy to operate when you figure that they have, many of them still have limited range. Not that many people have charging stations at home, and the infrastructure is still dreadful. There aren't many charging stations around the country here, at least if we're talking about the United States. So I think GM's pretty smart. Other car companies are doing similar moves to get more charging stations out there to help people through that initial experience.
Well, for moves like this by GM, and as you referenced others, like how big of a dent do you think that can put into at least the perception that people have about whether there are enough charging stations in enough convenient places for them to take the leap and buy an EV?
Well, you know, there is an interesting dynamic at work here. The industry, by that I mean the auto industry, has kind of focused on charging as a stumbling block or a hurdle to overcome. I tend to pull back a little bit and look at it from a different perspective, and that is it's the battery that really is the hurdle right now. Number one, it costs too much. Number two, the energy density isn't high enough to give most people and most vehicles enough range, so you really don't have to worry about filling it up. And then the actual experience of charging is kind of a pain in the hind end. So, you know, there are other ways around this issue. A, put more home charging stations in place. B, think about ways you don't have to plug in this massive charger. Maybe a wireless charging pad is the way to go, and there are companies working on that. There are also companies trying to figure out how to make battery swapping available to more people, and that has some hurdles of its own to overcome. And then finally, if the battery companies working with the car companies can figure out how to get better, cheaper batteries in place, maybe that'll eliminate all of this stuff. We won't have to worry about chargers. We won't have to worry about swapping. We'll see. It's still a little bit of Wild West out there, don't you think?
Yeah. So let me ask you about this analysis that you did at Reuters showing $500 billion investment in electric vehicles over the next 8 years in this industry. I'm curious what you expect that we will all get from that investment, and if that is like the tip of the iceberg, is that sort of the peak of where investing is going to go? Like, how does that play sort of in the context of where this industry is and where it might be going?
Okay. As an aside, I should point out that when we did the original study in January of 2019, that figure was $300 billion.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's grown considerably. It's grown by 67% or almost 70%.
Yeah.
To $515 billion. Back then in January 2019, much of the industry's focus was on automation, that is self-driving vehicles. And in that short period of time, this not quite 3 years, the industry has shifted dramatically to electrification, away from automation. They haven't put it on the back burner, but I would say it's maybe more of a side burner right now. So there's an intense focus on electrification. It's driven by things from climate change to cities and states and countries wanting to figure out the best ways to attack the carbon in the atmosphere and reduce the carbon emissions from various sources. Transportation's a big one. All these factors are driving the industry into it. And once again, you hit the nail on the head. I truly believe this is the tip of the iceberg. I think when you add in the money that suppliers are spending, that startup companies that we don't even know about yet, they're just in the early stages, are planning to spend, and what investors will throw into that kitty, I'll bet you it easily exceeds $1 trillion over the next 9-10 years.
So what does that mean then for particular communities? I mean, you're based in Michigan, which is obviously home of a lot of automakers. Here in the Phoenix area, there are a number of electric vehicle companies that have set up shop here. Others are potentially looking at opening factories here. What does all that investment mean maybe for a place like Michigan or a place like the Phoenix area?
Let's talk about the Phoenix area for a minute, because as you said, there are a couple of companies already setting up shop there, and I think you're going to see more factories, and not just electric vehicle factories, but certainly battery factories. And I think there is a concern as the industry starts to build up more manufacturing capacity for vehicles, there is a worry that there won't be enough batteries. I think as the money flows in, as production increases, as more and more vehicles get out there, it will create a flywheel effect, as I've heard some people describe it. And that in turn should bring in even more investment. I think one of the big questions I sense right now is jobs. What sort of jobs will this in turn generate? I know that battery production tends to be more heavily automated than vehicle production. Electric vehicles, because they're a lot simpler with a lot fewer moving parts, are a bit more simple and less expensive to assemble than gasoline or combustion engine vehicles. I have a feeling as the industry, as the electric vehicle industry grows along with the battery industry, there are going to be plenty of new jobs. What type of jobs? I can't tell you for certain. But I think a lot of this investment is going to spell jobs, particularly in high growth areas like the Phoenix area.
All right. That is Paul Leinart, future transportation correspondent at Reuters. Paul, thanks for the conversation. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, Mark. Thank you.